Welcome to Fear the Boot bonus episode, I guess
bonus
9?
Bonus episode, beautiful.
I don't know. This one just opened up with Adam. That noise you heard was Adam popping open a beer.
Actually, Bud Light, by the way.
Actually, we're all a bit lit today.
Except for
me. Well, Adam's drinking Bud Light. The rest of us are drinking... You know, actually, we just got back from eating pizza at a local pizza chain called Fortell's.
Well, pizza was a small part of the entire experience.
Right, but what we found was we discovered there's a local microbrewery called, I guess it's called the O'Fallon Brewery. That makes beers, and I think I just discovered a new favorite beer. They have a beer called O'Fallon Gold that's like an extremely good beer, but we have in front of us right now, all of us except Adam... we have pumpkin ale, which is
by the same brewery.
Yeah, pumpkin beer by the same.
It's all right. I like the gold one better. This stuff's a bit thick for me.
The gold one was very piney.
Wait, turn that mic towards your mouth.
It is towards my mouth.
No, yeah, when you sit up like this,
Oh, by the way, this is a bonus.
Yeah, this is a bonus episode. All right, here it goes.
You know, I don't normally do this kind of thing.
This is a bonus episode. If this is your first time listening to Fear the Boot, go listen to a regular episode first. Blah,
yeah,
because
we're
blah,
like
blah,
two
blah.
Friggin' pitchers into,
into the episode.
If you've been with the show for a while, you probably recognize myself, Dan, Chad, and Adam.
Howdy.
My wife, Carla, is sitting in on this podcast. Dawn's not here.
She was barfing today.
She's at home projectile vomiting.
She did not want any of the beer.
Yeah. We'll put it this way. She's throwing up for two.
Yes.
So she's not going to be joining us. Now, this bonus episode is called Fear the Boot Bedtime Stories. And we're calling it that because several people...
Because Dan wants to tell gaming stories. I must refer
you... No.
All you gentle listener, I must refer you to Fear the Boot, Episode 1. Go, Dan.
Are you done flatulating out your mouth?
No, sir. I have not yet begun to flatulate out my mouth.
All right.
So wait.
Because very few of the stories I have in mind are gaming stories. These are just stories that we have mentioned on the podcast or alluded to on the podcast. People have written in saying, wait a minute, what's the story? We don't know anything about the story. And we have never elaborated.
Can you please tell me you have a list of these stories that we're going to discuss?
He has a list of all two of them.
Yeah, and if they're gaming, I might just be a spectator to this podcast.
No. Listen, when you start telling a gaming story, somebody who has absolutely no knowledge of the gaming story
can get outraged.
It is the best input
we
can have.
If you start feeling the rage welling up in you,
you've heard a gaming story.
Yeah, let it loose.
All right.
There's like some weird bubbly stuff on my bottle here.
It's called
your beer is bubbling.
CO2?
No, it's like a little.
Wait, are you at the bottom of the glass?
You
no,
do
I'm
know that this
here.
Pumpkin beer, they
no,
actually...
No, I just started drinking.
It's not pumpkin flavor. They actually grind up pumpkins and put the pumpkin bits in the beer.
Well, you can't look into the bottle.
Well, no, but you don't see...
If you're looking at it and not drinking...
Bits.
Here, put it against the light.
I did. I don't see pumpkin.
Hey, Dan, what's going on?
Oh, not much, Chad. How's your pumpkin beer?
I just drink it. It's okay.
Mine's bubbly. Can you imagine?
I know. It's got bubbly bits in it, apparently.
Hey, guys, I'd like to point out there is nothing inside the old BL here.
Including beer.
Let me ask you this, since it's a sort of a beer episode. Going around the table, Dan, if you could have any beer in front of you right now, other than the one you're drinking,
right?
What beer would you have?
It would be, I guess, that O'Fallon Gold we just tried
you
today.
You really love
now,
it.
Now, if I had to put the O'Fallon Gold aside and go to something, you know, what would it have been before tonight?
Amberbach.
Yeah, Amberbach.
Okay.
Michelob Amberbach.
Carla? Any beer you can have right now, what would you have?
You guys already know the answer to this.
Well, I know the story, but our millions of listeners don't.
Yeah,
Corona with lime.
Corona with lime.
It's got to have the lime.
Adam, I'm sure everyone knows.
My answer is going to be slightly different.
Yeah.
I would like a gallon of Bud Light shared with Johnny G.
Ah.
Sipping that stuff with Johnny G is an orgasm.
It's a sipping beer, eh?
Right now.
And a gulping beer.
Right now, if I had my choice, I would have a nice cold bottle with little bits of ice dripping off the bottle.
He's such a commercial.
I know.
Ding's Dat.
Oh.
The people's beer.
Yeah, Bud Light of China.
If you think it's the Bud Light of China, you, sir, have either never had Ding's Dat or never had Bud Light.
You're thinking
of Sapporo.
No.
It's a Japanese
beer. I very briefly dated a girl from China, from the province where that beer is made.
I will do a blind taste test for you. They taste completely different.
Now,
chewy.
Let's
Ting's Tao is chewy. Bud Light is water.
I know. I've had tequila. It's awful.
It's wonderful. It's
awful. All I can it's remember, like gum. The first night I went out with, it's I think it was chewy, you guys, like pork to that fat. One place, you had us drink some of that Schlafly's
Pale Ale.
And when he said it's just like drinking orange just after brushing your teeth, it was perfect. That's exactly the description I would have labeled it.
It is a complex flavor.
You don't know it's a complex. Fluoride like, with citrus.
Like short bus flavor.
It's hoppy. It's hoppy with a hint hoppy. Of citrus.
It's hoppy. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, we, this is Fear the Boot bedtime stories, not beer time stories.
I'm perfectly happy to keep on going with
I'm
beer
happy
time
with
stories.
Beer time stories.
But the listeners have demanded something more than beer time stories. Definitely. So
remember when we trashed gaming stories, and now here we
this
are.
This is not
episode.
These are not
one.
Freaking gaming stories.
Look at the Zane son of a bitch. Out of his
here head. He comes. He's gonna be like, "So my name's Dan. I played this gnome, and this gnome was a vampire, and he was a demon gnome, and he had the staff of dominance." Here it comes, folks. Get your beer, brace
Let's
yourself.
Let's start with the story I alluded to. I made a reference to a story about the tree in my front yard, and we're not. I'm going to tell that story now.
I'm ready.
The story of the drug tree.
I'm half lit. Go.
I've never heard this story.
I can actually.
Okay.
I was probably involved in this story, and I don't remember
no,
this
actually,
story.
No, actually, you're not.
No. This
there is a tree in our front yard that stands, I guess, about 8 feet tall.
Let me
tall.
Correct you right there. It's not just a tree. It's three hideous pine trees that have amorphized into this giant, ugly pine tree.
This is in your front yard currently?
Yeah, yeah right there.
Right we the walked garage. Past it on the way in?
Yeah.
It's three trees
if,
that have
as
grown
you're leaving
one.
The house, it's directly on your left.
I will hang up my title of ninja eye.
All right, so there's these, this pine tree, or this overgrown shrub, or whatever it is in our front yard. It stands about 8 feet tall. Mm-hmm. So we are sitting there one night up in the living room. We have a split-level house, so we have a pretty good view of the front yard. And we were sitting there in the living room. I think we were playing a video game. And as this is we being Carl and I. And as we're sitting here playing this, I suddenly see some guy walking up in my front yard, shining a flashlight in my windows and like looking into the house.
Sweet.
Okay.
I would fire two warning shots.
Well,
then call the
yeah,
police.
Needless to say, this to me, guy walking around the front yard shining a flashlight into my windows is not a good sign.
Well, and since we do have a split level, we're up higher than a normal window. So he's standing in the yard shining kind of like
yeah,
flashing like up. So it wasn't up. Like he was right into the window like looking
so,
in or anything.
So all
right.
You know they can't shots. See you when you make those gestures.
I'm showing you guys, but the voice maybe around the microphone.
I can't even comment right. on that. Continue
so at
that.
This point, we see this guy walking around looking into our window. So at all this right. point, I do the thing any sensible American would do. I get my gun.
Right.
And I go back, grab a pistol. This actually does become important to the story later on. I put it in a pocket.
It's really important to me now.
I put it in a pocket, basically just kind of leave it there, you know, because it's like, okay, I'm the axiom I live my life by is hope for the best, plan for the worst. That hoping for the best, there's some logical explanation to this. Preparing for the worst, it's some dude robbing my house. You know, you don't know. So I'm like, all right, put it in the pocket. Carla goes down, answers the door. It's the guy from across the street.
Ah, send down the meat shield first. All right.
Now, the
She'll
guy
take the first two.
The guy across the street. There's a guy who lives in a house directly across the street from us. Okay, his name is Tony. And Tony builds shuffleboards. This is like what he does. He did this as a hobby, but apparently did such a good job that now he has this massive backlog of people paying him gobs of money to build
XXXshuffleboard.com.
Yes.
Actually, it's customcraftedshuffleboard.com. He does a good
you
job.
You are on the payroll.
Dang.
So
he does a great job.
This guy, because he's always building these shuffleboards, which you can't obviously do in your living room, is always there in his garage with the garage door up, working on the shuffleboard. So he sees everything that goes on in the neighborhood, not because he's some peeping, spying old
no,
man.
No, it's a rear window thing. But, he's a peeping, spying old man.
All right. So
we call those voyeurs.
He comes out. Carla goes down, answers the door. He's down there, says, "Hey, you know, I was flashing this light in your windows just to get your attention. Something's going on." And he says that I was sitting here working on the shuffleboards, and I saw some guy looking through this tree in your front yard. And I went over and said, "Hey, you know, what's going on? Did you lose something?" And the guy just takes off, sprints down the street, dives into a truck, and the truck speeds off.
Well, he also, well, he said he lost his cell phone.
No, that was the second time.
Oh, okay.
They come back a second time. They come back a second time.
They,
there's three of them. They come back a second time. Different guy gets out of the truck, starts looking through the same tree. And this time, Tony walks over to him and says, hey, what's going on? Are you guys looking for something? He said, yeah, we were driving down the street, and a friend of mine, just playing a prank, took my cell phone, threw it out the window. I think it landed in this tree, and we're trying to find it. And Tony says, okay, well, I got a flashlight right here. Let me help you find it. Comes over to help these guys. As soon as he gets close, guy sprints off down the street, drives in his truck, and it speeds away.
You know, I used to do that in high school. It was a lot of fun.
So,
I didn't.
No.
Are you going to refer to how he told him to call? Or was there a third time that I wasn't aware of? Because Tony had said also, he's like, well, what did you do? He's like, well, you know, my friend threw the cell phone in here. I can't find it. He's like, well, why don't you just borrow my phone and call it?
Yeah.
And the guy, that's when I think he's right. All right.
So they speed off this final time. This is why he's now in our front yard with a flashlight. So he's kind of flashing this in our windows, trying to get our attention. So okay, he finishes telling Carl all this. And he's like, hey, let's go look and see what's in there. So they take the flashlight over there, start shining their light around, and there's a bag of marijuana in our tree.
If I remember the story right, it wasn't just like a small bag either. It was pretty good size.
It was a moderate size. I mean, this was no, I mean, it wasn't like somebody tossed a kilo.
Now in the middle of the story, and now you remember the story.
Yeah, I know.
If I remember this story correctly, when at the beginning you couldn't even recall what story was being told.
I'm as surprised as you are.
There was a moderate-sized bag of marijuana hidden at the bottom of this evergreen tree.
Yes, and then Dan smoked it. End of story.
Yeah, so then I smoked the biggest-ass blunt you have ever laid your eyes on. I completely screwed up a box of Count Chocula thereafter.
You demolished the count.
So they dig out. All right. So seriously, they dig out this bag of marijuana. All right. Now, at this point, my mind's thinking that this is one of two things. Either
it's marijuana or...
No. Why it's there.
It's hashish.
Why it's there.
Should I smoke it in my pipe, my hookah? Should I roll this out or what?
Now I've got to edit the episode.
Well...
Actually, no. Yeah. Now he has to edit the episode.
All right. I got to edit our profanity now. So at this point, I'm thinking it's there for one of two reasons. Either, number one, there are people around that aren't real bright, but are doing drug deals and have decided that a good place for whatever reason to stash these drugs for the deals is in my front yard. Or number two, the more likely possibility here, is a bunch of teenage punks were driving around, had their pot, thought they saw their mom, thought they saw a cop, whatever, and for some reason, just by coincidence, were in front of my house, hid this in the tree. But whichever...
Whoa! You know, I've smoked weed. That has never run through my mind well at any point.
Now, here's the setup, though. This is the one house in the entire neighborhood that sits right across the street from the guy who is always 24/7
right
in his garage.
This
Except
guy's
the
garage.
Past couple weeks while I've been working on my shed.
Right. Well, that's Murphy's Law. This isn't about Murphy's Law.
The garage is always open. Right. The lights are always on. And
there is a street light.
Out.
Yeah. There is a street light right in front of my house. So while a lot of the neighborhood is dark, my house is watched by another individual and is brightly lit. All right. So whatever the case is, these people aren't real bright. I was later telling this to my coworker, and his very wise response, we said, Dan, you can't expect someone who's high on pot to come up with a very good plan. And as a man who has smoked a fair amount of this, he knows what he's talking about. And
he must be talking about...
Not going to mention his name for legal reasons, but yes.
Wow.
In case there's police officers listening
libel.
To this podcast.
We just had our first libel
this would
discussion.
Be slander. Libel is... slander and libel. Libel's written, slander spoken. I think so.
Anyway. No, I thought libel was spoken.
Whoa. You
really
guys
deep.
Need to arm wrestle over this.
All right. Well, while we're working that out. So at this point, the point is, no matter which the case is, whether this is something serious or just a bunch of punk kids, either way, I don't want this going down in my front yard because, I mean, this just is going to obviously bring in crime. You know, even if it's something stupid, who knows what this can turn into?
Oh my God, the invasion of suburbia.
Well, the other thing is, you
It'd
know,
be worse if MetroLink was
a board.
Here comes the white teenagers. There goes the neighborhood.
The other thing is, you know, think of it this way: you're a bored suburban cop driving around. You see a bunch of kids messing around in a bush. You pull over and look. You find a bunch
you
of
take
drugs.
Take a couple of pictures.
You find a bunch of drugs. You're going to knock on the door, and the homeowner's going to say, I didn't know this was going on. They're going to be like, yeah, right, you didn't know this was going on. So at this point, I'm like, all right, whatever's going on here, this needs to be the last time it happens. So as we're sitting there, these brilliant bunch of kids in this truck keep driving past to see what's going on here. And like again and again and again. And we live in a cul-de-sac, so it's not like you can just shoot by at 50 miles an hour. You have to drive by fairly slow, stop and turn around somewhere. So at this point, I'm feeling pretty bold for reason of what's in my front right pocket. So I'd start approaching these
Your
guys.
Penis?
Yes. I see these guys pull
you
up.
You got the hole cut out in the pocket.
Well, by this, slip it in there.
Hey, can you just reach in my pocket for a second?
Do you know how many times I've fallen for that?
By this point.
Hey, dude, can you grab my cell phone?
Sure.
By this point, I'm feeling so bold from smoking a quarter pound of pot. I was just afraid of nothing. So I go walking up the street. These kids pull up in their truck. One of them's walking down the street towards me. So I figure I'm just going to walk to this guy and basically, you know, whatever you're doing, it's got to stop. I don't want this crap going on in my yard. And the guy seeing me, even though it's three of them, turns around, same deal, dives back into his truck, and they start to drive away.
Well, then you put a couple rounds in the tires. And
I start walking up to the guy thinking, all right, best thing I can do at this point is get his license plate number. Now, these guys, rather than driving off in a hurry, slow down and do a slow as hell U-turn right around me.
Did they signal?
No, as
I am walking.
He's riding on his hand.
I'm walking behind them. I mean, at a slow walking speed, not jogging, slow, leisurely, mosey speed behind them, writing down their license plate one line at a time on my hand. And these guys are just driving 2 miles an hour in this slow, safe turn around me.
Well, they don't want to be dangerous, Dan. Reckless driver promoter.
They don't want to take any risks at all.
And it's at this point we realize we're not exactly dealing with criminal masterminds here. So the cops finally show up, because our neighbor by this point had called the cops. The cops show up. We give them the weed. So probably how the story actually ends is the cops
you give them the weed. Yeah. Man, officer, they only had like an ounce.
Yeah, man, it's like, there's just this tiny little pinch in there.
I don't know why they need this big-ass bag for this. But.
Yeah, as you have your hand buried in a bag of Doritos.
It's like, I don't know why they had all this, but man, I wish they had put some Frankenberry with it. So we give the cops the drugs.
And officer, I'm going to need a lift to Dunkin' Donuts. Stack. It's a matter of life and death.
We have a full-blown 7-Eleven here. Let me repeat, a 7-Eleven. All cars respond.
God, that takes me back to high school.
So, anywho, the cops finally, they come, they get all the information. I give them the license plate number. They run the plates. They drive off. And over the course of the night, we just sit there in our front yard watching. And these guys just keep coming back again and again. And they just drive up to the edge of the street. See us there, and then speed off again.
Should have shot him.
Dan's like,
as the pacifist speaks,
you're kind of right, Adam.
All right, so that's the story about the tree in my front yard.
Okay, now we need a different person telling a story.
I know, because I got another one I got to come back to. So
yeah.
Oh, hashish.
Hashish.
Sorry.
Oh, come on. Someone here's got to have a story.
I don't got one.
Wait, what are we talking about?
Any story.
Story.
Apparently any random story.
Any random story. Anything of interest in your life.
You can tell the story about the citronella candle.
What citronella
candle? And the hot dog?
What about the story about the bee?
Oh my God, the bee!
Oh, the bee.
Can you tell this story without cussing?
Or crying? Maybe. Come on, the bee.
The bee.
Maybe.
He's
okay.
Got a challenge.
All right. So for the first few years of my life, I was an outdoorsman. I love to camp, hike, all that sort of stuff. And I was a Boy Scout. And I loved being in the Boy Scout. It was, I mean, they had that useless ceremony crap, but there was a lot of camping. And I liked camping. So, I was an outdoorsman. I mean, I'd been stung, poison ivy, all sorts of stuff like that. You know, you get those scrapes, bruises, and you just become accustomed to injury. Mm-hmm. That's fine.
Without a helmet, right?
Well, yeah, we never wore helmets.
I know. I'm saying now they all wear helmets.
Do the Girl Scouts wear helmets?
Do they really wear helmets?
Everybody wears helmets now. Like, even on scooters. Like,
retarded people, like, hanging their heads into stuff?
You can't have injuries these days. These kids are like,
they pad all the trees.
Hey, check it out. It's time for another beer.
This will make sense at the bottom of the next one.
Surely it will.
So anyway.
That actually came across really well.
So anyway.
The outdoors.
When you cracked that off, I just expected to hear this low voice going, Bush.
Bud Light. You know, I hear that voice in my sleep. Bud Light. It calls to me. Sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night, no reason whatsoever. I just pop over to BL. Melina's like, what are you doing? Nothing. Don't look at me.
So, all right. So this B.
So we're breaking down the camp, and I don't know if you've ever broken a camp, but the Boy Scouts have this motto. Leave the area cleaner than you found it.
Right.
Which means that we do this, at the end of the camp, we do this thing where everybody lines up in a line, and you touch hands, and you walk, and all you do is stare at the ground, and you pick up trash.
Right.
Okay? So at the end, you have this giant accumulation of trash. We had this giant pile of trash bags full of this trash, and it had been attracting insects over the few days that we'd been camping there. So, Adam, go get the trash. Go get the trash. So I walk on over there, and when I was young, I used to wear these big, thick glasses that I still sometimes
wear. Not a helmet.
But not a helmet. No. I was a real man. Real men wear cloth.
Yeah.
So I stumble over there, grumbling. I'm 14 years old. I don't want to work. I just want to camp. So I get over there, and these bees flying around. Well, I've been stung before. I don't care about these bees. So I'm moving the bags around, and I agitated something. So this bee flies at my glasses. You wear glasses long enough, you get accustomed to that kind of stuff just bouncing off.
I've never actually had insects bounce off my glasses before.
You don't camp as much as I used to.
Apparently not.
There are insufficient bees in your apartment.
Well, actually, it's just like wearing safety goggles.
You know what? I have camped. I have camped quite a bit, but we had something magical called DEET when I camped.
That was the woman's way out.
Apparently.
Did you sleep in your tent?
No, I slept in the back of the truck girls.
We would always pitch the tents. We'd always have this huge camp layout. Never sleep in the tent. On the ground. Toss the bag down, sleep on the ground.
See, that's my problem with the Boy Scouts. Not enough girls.
No, there was the Explorers, which is the next Boy Scout over, which is all chicks. And then you go, that's a different story.
Yeah. Boring. I want to hear about bees.
Stripper Explorers? Or go on.
Yeah, that's a story for a different podcast.
You stopped him in his tracks.
So this bee is charging me. You can see things flying. Like, if you're playing baseball, you can see the ball flying at you, and you have a chance to react. It's just going to hit the glasses. Boom, right into the glasses. It is uncanny because the glasses rest on your cheek. How it gets under the glasses, but it does. So it stings me in the freaking eye. So I'm running.
It's the first time I've heard you tell this story without cussing. Congratulations.
I'm running around the camp screaming about this bee that has stung me in the eye. Now, and the bee is not gone.
Now, I want to. Wait.
What do you mean the bee is not gone?
The bee is trapped behind my glasses. It's buzzing around, hitting me in the face.
Did it leave the stinger in your eye?
Well, here's the thing. I want to point something out, too. I have questioned Adam multiple times about this story because I wanted to get exactly what he meant. When he says he was stung in the eye, I don't mean that the little fleshy part below your eye, on the eyelid, the eyebrow, the part right by your nose, your gland. No, your eye. Oh, the white part with the colored bit in the center?
Wow.
It stung him in the eyeball. The stinger entered the eyeball, the ocular ball. Bam! And I laughed.
So life has started to suck. So I'm running around this camp screaming about this bee. No one's moving. No one is moving because... what is that idiot doing screaming about this bee? So frantically, I'm running around. I am knocking over tents. I am knocking over bags. So in my panic, I run over a big mound of bee-ridden trash. And I get stung 3 more times for agitating the trash pile again. So,
I love that goddamn bee.
Previously, I don't know if this is a twist of fate, like differences in physiology. I think I was 14. I was going through puberty or something. My face starts to swell. I had never been previously allergic to bees, but the entire left side of my face is just swollen as all get out. And I slept in the back of a truck for the rest of the trip. It sucked. It was great.
Brilliant.
Yeah, I love that story.
I love it. Every time I hear it, 10
years later.
It still scars. And, a follow-up to that story. We're walking along on the sidewalk, wherever, anywhere outside.
No, don't tell this part.
And then it's like a flying insect. Doesn't even have to be a bee. A flying insect just gets within 20 feet of him. He's like, and he starts flailing his arms and running. I'm looking at him like, what are you doing? It's after me. It's after me.
I have this rabid, irrational fear of stinging insects.
It's crazy. It's actually
stung in the eye.
It's actually rather funny. Well, I point and laugh. I don't know about anybody else.
I can understand having a big fear of being stung once you've been stung in the eye.
All right. Does anyone else have a story? There's still another story I owe the fine listeners at home.
I have the story of how I almost cut off my thumb 2 days ago, but
and still have not gone to the hospital.
I'm probably
let me see it. You know, you probably don't need
gross.
Stitches.
You don't want to look at it. He needs stitches.
He does need a stitch on that.
He needs stitches. It's like a quarter of an inch.
I would need a stitch. But then again,
I'm on the line. I'm on the line.
I sliced open my wrist when I was making a cardboard box fort when I was younger. And my mom's like, do you want to get stitches? And I'm like, nah, just wrap it up. You'll be fine. Just soak it in alcohol.
So, yesterday.
That's still how you fix all your problems. Soak yourself in alcohol.
I soaked my eye in
Mom,
alcohol.
I've got gonorrhea. Soak it in alcohol, son.
Life's depressing. Soak yourself in alcohol.
That's why I'm such a Bud Light alcoholic.
Your tummy hurts. Soak it in alcohol.
So, I cut my thumb. This story is not nearly as interesting as Adam's bee sting story, by far. But it's just the filler to build up to Dan's second, and I'm sure, wonderful story.
Yes.
Yesterday, I play War Machine. I've played twice now, and I've won both times.
Ooh, big balls, McGraw.
That's right, baby. So, anyway, there's four books. I got the last book in the mail yesterday, Escalation. And I have a little pocket knife, a Leatherman Wave, if you're really interested. But and I whip it out with one hand, and I cut the box open. And I'm opening the box with my left hand, and I'm looking at the contents of the box, pulling the packaging stuff out. And I hit the lock, and I close the knife. It's a folding knife. And I close it with my right hand, and I'm not even looking. I scissor the end of my thumb. I scissor the thumb tip, and it slices all the way through, almost down to the fingernail.
Ow.
Yeah, and there's like this big flap of skin hanging out now.
No.
And man, it was just bleeding bleeding.
If you have a flap of skin, you need stitches.
See, I don't know. See,
I don't think so. I think it'll grow back together. I think you just got to keep it, the way you have it now, bandaged up and wrapped and stuff. I think if you keep it that way, you'll be fine.
Well, the biggest thing is as long as you've got feeling.
Yeah, I mean, I could feel it.
Then you were fine.
See, the knife was so sharp that when I cut it, I cussed, I threw it down, and I look at my thumb, I'm like, this doesn't even hurt. It's been 24 hours now. It only hurts if I bump it against something or I tap it. I don't know. I'm thinking maybe I should go to the hospital. Half the people I'm talking to say yes, the other half say no.
Save yourself the copay.
I don't know. I'm thinking about maybe just going up there and shoving it in front of a nurse. I'm like, can you do anything that I can't do?
It's kind of late now, though. I mean,
why is it late? Well, I don't know. I mean, it's not...
just a day and a half later.
Well, I mean, it's still bleeding, kind of.
I don't think you need to go, but if I was going to go, I'd have probably gone right after I cut it.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's like show up to the hospital a week after a heart attack.
You know, my mom did that.
Showed up to the hospital a week after a heart
attack. They can determine from some of the muscle mass in your heart whether or not you've had a heart attack.
Yeah, you can also determine from proteins in the blood.
Yeah, they're like, you know, you've had a heart attack. She's like, oh, yeah? Really?
Yeah, they call them silent heart attacks, ones you don't even feel or something like that.
I thought it was a pepperoni pizza. Okay, Carla, do you have any outrageous stories?
I have one. It's not really outrageous. It's just kind of more embarrassing, but people seem to get a kick out of it. I guess
are we
going to
cut this?
No. It's completely
Well, then don't tell it.
Then go ahead.
I'm getting mixed signals. Go ahead. Don't tell it.
No, go ahead.
Ignore Chad.
I guess I will.
Most people do.
I think it was in, I was probably in junior high, so 12, 13 or so. And I was living with my parents, of course. And I was in the basement. They had a bathroom in the basement that they built themselves. My dad, you know, he's kind of crafty and finished the basement in the bathroom. So that was my bathroom. That's the one I would get ready in the morning. Have I told you the story, Dan?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, anyway, so...
He was asleep when you told it.
Probably. It's really not as exciting as Adam's bee sting. I don't think you can hold up anything to that story, but anyway, so...
No, I could. I just can't tell him here.
So I'm in the bathroom getting ready for junior high for school, and I'm getting ready to get in the shower, and I get ready to walk into the shower, and I look in, and there's this huge spider. huge spider. And I'm like, oh my God. And I mean, you know, they're just huge and hairy and all that. And I kind of freaked out. I'm like, and so I tried squishing it, but it moved around. I couldn't get it. And so
critical failure.
Yeah, I failed.
It was huge and crafty.
Yes. And so I turn around and like a ray from heaven was shining on my hairspray bottle. And I'm like, I'm going to poison that sucker. I'm going to kill it with hairspray. So I
Luckily, PETA doesn't listen to this.
Yeah. So I grabbed this hairspray.
And then another ray from heaven shone on my cigarette lighter. So I put two and two together.
Let me tell the story.
Oh, Dad.
She's getting there.
So I take the aerosol, and I used a lot of hairspray. My hair was huge. So I just... and I sprayed...
Tell that story.
Yeah, I sprayed that spider too. He was like stuck all up against the...
He was like, damn it, woman! I got a spider afro! What are you doing to me?
So he's stuck up against the wall. But he wasn't dying. He was still just moving. He's probably doing his hair.
He wasn't dying. He was looking good.
So I was like, that's it. So then I take my lighter... And I'm like,
no, you did not.
You guys. So I.
No.
Yeah. So I lit him and then, not even thinking, my whole shower goes into flames. And I'm like, oh my God. So I'm totally freaking out because now I have a flaming spider shower. And I still had to get ready for school. So what do? I turn and I see my Dixie cup sitting there. So I took my Dixie cup.
Not on fire.
My Dixie cup was not on fire. I take my Dixie cup, fill it with water, dump it on the shower, on the fire. So I do that like 20 times until I put the fire out. And I was like, I'm sweating. I'm like, oh, thank God I got that fire out. And then I'm sitting there and I'm like, hot damn. That was in the shower. All I had to do was turn the stupid shower on to put the fire out.
I was actually wondering, how did you just turn the shower on?
I was in a panic. The Dixie cup was there. So I filled it up with water. You know, and a Dixie cup's like, what, 4 ounces? So I'm going back and forth. And I finally, I killed the spider. I had a burn mark in my shower. But I succeeded. Well, Dan, do you remember, did I know you when my grandma sent her farm on fire?
No, but this is a good, I've heard this before. This is a good story.
Wow.
It's a really
save me, Carla. Save me.
The DEA was raiding the farm.
It's not what happens. It's the reaction to it that's funny. Okay, please continue.
Well, it's really not a long story. It's just my grandma had a farm in Lesterville.
Lesterville.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. She had a farm in Lesterville. Beautiful farm. And it's customary on most farms. Most people do it around here in St. Peter's.
They burn them down every so often.
Well, they burn their trash. Yeah. So she was burning her trash in the backyard, and it was really windy that day, and kind of like your back or Consuelo's backyard. It was really dry with a lot of leaves. So she's burning her trash, and she went into the kitchen to go do the dishes, and she was washing her dishes, and she looked up from the window in the mountain behind her house in the flames. She's like,
not the hill.
No.
Not the yard. Not the even mountain. The barn. The mountain was in
Mount Lesterville was on fire.
There was an orphanage in Mount Lesterville.
It's the Ozark Mountains. So it's called, that mountain is called Devil's Mountain. So like
you set the Ozarks on fire?
It was Devil's Mountain. Devil's Mountain was burning.
Yes, it was.
You know, some Hicks were thinking that the second coming has come.
The apocalypse. So anyway, we were coming over to visit. I think it was like just before Thanksgiving or something. So my family comes over and we're like driving down. She has a gravel path to the farm when she used to own it. So we're driving down it. And as we drive, we start noticing like fire truck, police car. We're like,
ash.
Like, what the heck's going on?
A guy runs across the road in flames.
So we get there and there's like all these trucks. And my grandma, you know, I think at the time she's like 60 something. And she's just sitting there. She's like, you know, all you can just tell something happened. Well, anyway, they explained the story to us, and they were working to put out this fire, and we actually helped. My brother and I, even though we were little, we were able to go help put out the fire, which was pretty cool. We got to put it out. It burned like several hundred acres or something.
100 acres?
Yeah, Jesus just Christ. in just like the immediate. Well, she had 180.
They had a huge.
She had 182 acres.
I don't care how big it is. They set several hundred acres of Missouri wilderness on fire.
Well, it was.
Wow.
Yeah, I think it was that much. It could be, yeah, I'm not exactly sure, but it was a lot. I mean, it burned, like, the mountain and then I think some property, but no houses were burned or anything, but, yeah, so just from burning trash. But it was a really, I mean, I think there was a number of fires that day, but hers was the biggest.
So, what do you people do in Lesterville?
They burn their trash.
Listen, I will tell you people how to use fire to your advantage. when we were Boy Scouts, we would we'd cook over an open flame. That's how you cook your meals. We would always buy bacon. Bacon's always a nice, easy thing that you can throw in a pan.
Takes like 2 seconds to cook.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, it was raining one day, and we couldn't get a fire going. Have you ever used a citronella candle in the rain?
No.
All right, if you burn it the right way, you burn it the right way, and it's raining, when the wax hits the water, it creates some sort of flammable substance. So the whole metal tin lights on fire. And if any water gets in it, it flares up, and it's really cool. So, okay, it's raining. We can't build a fire to eat, and we're hungry. So, I mean, the adults are off doing whatever it is they do. So you light that baby up and you kick it out in the rain. You got this 6-foot fire going and you got like 6 or 7 14-year-olds roasting bacon on sticks around this fire.
Over citronella.
This white citronella bacon. Man, I miss it. He just
this is another
this to me.
Don't do this at home.
The bacon turned white. And then he describes like, yeah, I ate it. And it was the weirdest tasting. It didn't taste like bacon at all. It didn't taste like it was so weird. And then afterwards, an hour later, my stomach started hurting. Oh, it was rough.
You know, there's that moment in every person's life when you feel your stomach twitch in that way, and you're like, oh no, life is going to be bad in about 15 minutes, and then you're running to find the nearest tree with a toilet paper roll stuck to it.
Fire?
Yeah. No. Why? We had a fire.
Citronella magic fire.
All right. We could even move it around.
This is the one and only story I had on tap tonight that actually is a gaming story. For a simple reason, several people actually asked me to tell the story.
Why are we telling gaming stories?
Because several listeners genuinely did ask for the story. Oh. I mentioned in a previous podcast that you can have one of the GMing flaws is you can have boring games. And Someone suggested, well, could a player try and liven it up? And I said, no. I said, I don't typically recommend that because the few times I have seen I've been in games that were ridiculously boring, and a player tried to liven them up and made it worse. And you guys said, well, what happened? And I said, well, I don't want to tell the story because the people this involves may or may not listen to the podcast. So
tell it anyway. Who cares?
I'm going to change the names here
to protect the innocent.
Okay. So Consuelo and I.
Great.
You know what? He doesn't listen to the podcast. I know him.
We're playing a game of Hunters Hunted, okay? The Vampire the Masquerade expansion for playing humans killing the undead and such.
Right.
And this game was being game mastered by a gentleman I'm going to call Alan. And we were playing alongside another player who I am going to call Fred. Now, in the course of this game, as hunters, we were in a nightclub, and there was a murder that occurred in the back of a nightclub that could not possibly have done by any human. It was like this giant, massive, solid oak table had been like dumped on top of a person that would have taken like 6 men to move or something like that. So we knew something funky was going on. So Consuelo and I, we go back there with our characters, and we just, I mean, turn this room inside out, looking for clues, nothing. Talk to the people outside, nothing. Call our contacts, nothing. Okay, huge pointless game. Either there was no plot or we were not finding it. It was so obscured we weren't getting it.
Yeah, there's a dead body in this boardroom, smashed by an oak table, and we can't find the plot.
So at this point, Chad and I are like, screw it.
Consuelo
and Alberto are like, screw it. Our characters are going to bed. So we just split out and go home. This is when Fred decides to hop in to make things more interesting, to try and push the action along. And by the way, this is deadpan, okay? He is not joking or trying to be ironic. This is deadpan serious. Fred, I keep looking at my little note here because I actually almost keep using his real name. Fred decides, well, Fred has been playing this whole game a district attorney. And, no, not until this is over. Fred, Carl's trying to steal my note. So Fred decides, because he's playing the district attorney, that he's going to call his contacts.
Oh,
and
I suddenly remember this game.
Rather than
everything like halfway through.
Rather,
dude, you don't do drugs. What is wrong with you?
No.
If we laid out on the table how much weed I've smoked in my lifetime, and then if we had a way to quantify our memory abilities, you would be shocked at the relationships that we could draw.
I bet.
Okay, I have to tell everybody.
Dan?
So, he then calls up his contacts, and it's more complicated than this, but basically starts throwing down in front of the Game Master all these different laws, and he's one of these people who just like has an encyclopedic knowledge of everything, and starts throwing down all these laws he's going to pull and all these legal procedures he's going to do that fundamentally boils down to the fact that he is going to press charges against the undead spirit that did this. And now, mind you, part of the whole Vampire the Masquerade thing is the masquerade. And yeah, even the hunters
they don't want public panic. Right, and
the fact is, they're running around with machine guns killing these things. They don't want it too out in the open either.
Right.
And so, he is basically like, he's going to start filing charges.
He actually calls the press. He gets the equivalent of local news to come down.
Not even against some vampire prince, okay? This is not like he's turning out a politician. A wraith, an undead spirit.
Yeah.
He is filing charges and writing up subpoenas and this, that, and the other. So suddenly the Game Master's left trying to figure out, how is the DA's office going to handle subpoenas and search warrants and all these other things being filed against a wraith?
Easy GM decision. Kill the DA.
I think the game...
No, it was a player decision. The game got killed.
Yeah.
Well,
so either way. Anyway, that's our story.
Yeah, that's our Fear the Boot stories.
The next time you say, come up with some good stories to tell, I'll actually...
document them.
Do that.
Yeah.
Excuse me, I've got hiccups.
Dude, I liked your... I love the bee sting story.
I really like the bee sting story because you see the remnants of it every time we go somewhere.
I know, it's hilarious.
But Anna's you're a good storyteller, though, dude, too. I am a terrible storyteller.
We're sitting inside my house. We're by a window. It's summertime. The air conditioning on. The house is completely sealed. And then up against the window, it's thunk.
Thunk. Dude, did you see that bee trying to kill
thunk.
Me? We have one to our apartment.
Wow.
That just rams itself into the window.
Right at him.
Aren't they the killer
right
bees,
him.
The big bees?
Yes.
They're the
assassin bees. Yes. Thank you.
And all the while, just da-dun,
da-dun. You know.
And there's obviously this little stinger go by the windowsill.
Thunk.
One of these days, you're just going to find my corpse.
No
marks, but one swell in my shoulder. And you're going to be like, oh my God, he wasn't making it up.
Thank God him. He knew too much.
I killed one this summer. It felt good.
All you did was escalate.
Oh yeah, I took it to the next level, and now the whole family has a hit out on me.
On that note.
All right, thank you guys for tuning in. And since these were the bedtime stories, I'm sure you guys were listening to these as you were tucking yourselves into bed. So sleep tight.
Yeah, play these for your kids.
We will catch you guys for the regular episode next time.
Thunk. Nappy time.
Thunk. Thunk.